Chapter 3. The Noblest of Men, Though I Don't Believe It Myself. I could not sleep. And how should I? There is a pulse throbbing in my head. One longs to master it all that degradation. Oh, the degradation. Oh, what degradation I dragged her out of then. Of course, she must have realized that. She must have appreciated my action. I was pleased, too, by various thoughts. For instance, the reflection that I was 41 and she was only 16. That fascinated me. That feeling of inequality was very sweet. Was very sweet. I wanted, for instance, to have a wedding à l'anglaise. That is, only the two of us, with just the two necessary witnesses, one of them Lukeria, and from the wedding straight to the train to Moscow. I happened to have business there, by the way, and then a fortnight at the hotel. She opposed it. She would not have it, and I had to visit her aunts and treat them with respect as though they were relations from whom I was taking her. I gave way, and all befitting respect was paid the aunts. I even made the creatures a present of 100 rubles each, and promised them more, not telling her anything about it, of course, that I might not make her feel humiliated by the lowness of her surroundings. The aunts were as soft as silk at once, but there was a wrangle about the trousseau, too. She had nothing, almost literally, but she did not want to have anything. I succeeded in proving to her, though, that she must have something, and I made up the trousseau, for who would have given her anything? But there, enough of me. I did, however, succeed in communicating some of my ideas to her then, so that she knew them anyway. I was in too great a hurry, perhaps. The best of it was that from the very beginning she rushed to meet me with love, greeted me with rapture, when I went to see her in the evening, told me in her chatter, the enchanting chatter of innocence, all about her childhood and girlhood, her old home, her father and mother. But I poured cold water upon all that at once. That was my idea. I met her enthusiasm with silence. Friendly silence, of course. But all the same, she could quickly see that we were different, and that I was an enigma. And being an enigma was what I made a point of most of all. Why, it was just for the sake of being an enigma, perhaps, that I have been guilty of all this stupidity. The first thing was sternness. It was with an air of sternness that I took her into my house. In fact, as I went about then, feeling satisfied, I framed a complete system. Oh, it came of itself without any effort, and it could not have been otherwise. I was bound to create that system owing to one inevitable fact. Why should I libel myself, indeed? The system was a genuine one. Yes, listen if you must judge a man. Better judge him knowing all about it. Listen. How am I to begin this? For it is very difficult. When you begin to justify yourself, then it is difficult. You see, for instance, young people despise money. I made money of importance at once. I laid special stress on money, and laid such stress on it that she became more and more silent. She opened her eyes wide, listened, gazed, and said nothing. You see, the young are heroic. That is, the good among them are heroic and impulsive, but they have little tolerance. If the least thing is not quite right, they are full of contempt. And I wanted breadth. I wanted to instill breadth into her very heart, to make it part of her inmost feeling, did I not? I'll take a trivial example. How should I explain my pawnbroker's shop to a character like that? Of course I did not speak of it directly, or it would have appeared that I was apologizing. And I, so to speak, worked it through with pride. I almost spoke without words, and I am masterly at speaking without words. All my life I have spoken without words, and I have passed through whole tragedies on my own account without words. Why, I too have been unhappy. I was abandoned by everyone, abandoned and forgotten, and no one knew it. And all at once, this 16-year-old girl picked up details about me from vulgar people and thought she knew all about me. And meanwhile, what was precious remained hidden in this heart. I went on being silent with her. Especially I was silent, with her especially, right up to yesterday. Why was I silent? Because I was proud. I wanted her to find out for herself, without my help, and not from the tales of low people. I wanted her to divine of herself what manner of man I was, and to understand me. Taking her into my house, I wanted all her respect. I wanted her to be standing before me in homage for the sake of my sufferings, and I deserved it. Oh, I have always been proud. I always wanted all or nothing. You see, it was just because I am not one who will accept half a happiness, but always wanted all, that I was forced to act like that then. It was as much as to say, see into me for yourself and appreciate me. For you must see that if I had begun explaining myself to her and prompting her, ingratiating myself and asking for her respect, it would have been as good as asking for charity. But why am I talking of that? Stupid, 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 stupid! I explained to her then in two words directly, ruthlessly, and I emphasized the fact that it was ruthlessly, that the heroism of youth was charming, but not worth a farthing. Why not? Because it costs them so little. Because it is not gained through life. It is, so to say, merely first impressions of existence. But just let us see you at work. Cheap heroism is always easy. And even to sacrifice life is easy too, because it is only a case of hot blood and an overflow of energy, and there is such a longing for what is beautiful. No. Take the deed of heroism that is laborious, obscure, without noise or flourish, slandered, in which there is a great deal of sacrifice and not one grain of glory, in which you, a splendid man, are made to look like a scoundrel before everyone, though you might be the most honest man in the world. You try that sort of heroism and you'll soon give it up. While I have been bearing the burden of that all my life. At first she argued. Oh, how she argued. But afterwards she began to be silent. Completely silent. In fact, only opened her eyes wide as she listened. Such big, big eyes. So attentive. And what is more, I suddenly saw a smile. Mistrustful. Silent, an evil smile. Well, it was with that smile on her face I brought her into my house. It is true that she had nowhere to go.